Giant.
Monster Bullshit is the most listened to podcast in the country.
The water park. We're finally here.
What could be better than this? The sun is shining, we've got swim trunks on, towels over our shoulders, beautiful women at our sides.
They're giggling if you listen closely.
If you listen very closely, you can hear them giggling, laughing, beautiful women, supermodels, and we're about to ride big water slides.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, Grattan. Season pass. Let's go inside.
All right.
Hey, kids. Sorry, I can't let you in.
The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about, asshole?
Can't let you in. The water park's closed for the day.
Give me one good reason that this water park is closed.
I can't let you in. Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, giant monsters all out attack. I can't let you in. I'm fucking sorry.
Don't cuss at me. Don't cuss at me.
Don't cuss at me, asshole.
Well, all right. Thank you, sir. Sorry I got upset with you.
It's okay.
Bye.
Goodbye.
My favorite movie.
Full stop.
This is one that seems really significant, or it's been like sort of like significant in like thinking about the canon of these movies. You know what I mean? Not the canon of, like, their story, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, just thinking about, like, the changes that the whole franchise has gone through.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this one gets talked about a lot. Like, there was a period of time where I'd never heard about it, and then, like, once it sort of started getting back into it,
mm-hmm.
came back, and that was one people talked about, like, a ton.
Yeah. Yeah.
You always hear it. But probably because it's so distinct from everything in, like, every way, pretty much.
It's, or the people making it were able to take it completely seriously, like, the entire time. Not to say that there wasn't, like, any humor, but the fact that they played it all straight,
mm-hmm.
without wavering or, like, giving in to some kind of campy mm-hmm. urge or, and, I mean,
there are, like, sort of goofy moments that verge on, like, maybe camp.
But it's different, you know what I mean? It's not the same, it's, at the time, maybe the most different Godzilla movie.
Well, I mean, like,
even though tonally the Millennium movies were kind of headed this direction, like, you could tell Godzilla 2000 kind of wanted to be this.
Yeah.
Or tonally did.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love this movie. This is the first one I watched when I was coming back to Godzilla.
Same. It's and, one of the first.
I didn't have it quite really hyped up for me. It was just one of those ones where people are like, if you haven't seen it, you'd probably like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it and I was like, holy shit. I remember distinctly thinking I didn't know a Godzilla movie could be like this.
Really?
Yeah. It just felt, like I said, it was taking itself seriously. Mm-hmm. And Godzilla felt dynamic and real to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he moved around and was focused on in a certain way that just made him feel like he was actually there. And not like, you know, he was being held together by a bunch of things behind the scenes, you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Not like something manipulated, but something that is actually operating.
Something you're actually watching.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember watching it and thinking that the story was really good.
Mm.
Now, I don't think the story was anything revolutionary, but the fact that it just kept it straight the entire time.
Yeah.
And just went with it. Committed.
Mm-hmm. And it's got, like, real identity is the thing in these Millennium movies. A lot of them kind of,
mm-hmm.
you can blend a lot of those together. You know, like when we were talking about Megaguirus, we didn't remember which one Godzilla does the body slam.
Yeah.
You know, like, because they all, like, sort of go together, even though there's varying levels of quality
mm-hmm.
between them. But this one has serious identity and, like, the idea, like, the very base idea of, like, how they want to present Godzilla. It's a spin
mm-hmm.
on Godzilla, which is something that's a little more rare than mm-hmm. I think it is a lot of the time. You know, because you think about, like, oh, it's different people's take on it, but, you know, a lot of them are more or less kind of the same.
Uh-huh.
Like, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, I think people just fall back on stuff. That's what, like, camp. I think that's one of the things that it's like really easy to just be like, you know, I want to do a cool Godzilla movie, and then after a while you're just like, fuck it, have him throw a rock or something. You
actually
know?
I wasn't serious. Actually, I mean, I was joking. But
not that they were made lazily or anything.
No.
It's but just weird. They really, and it thinking about this movie is different for me now because I have the context of the Gamera movies as well as all the previous Godzilla movies, and there is a lot of Gamera trilogy DNA in this, particularly from the third one.
Yeah,
it seems like they were still like not fully ready to let go of the spiritual, ancient monster myth kind of thing,
and the doomy sort of like, you know, like sort of monster doesn't care about you or that aspect of it is focused on. Like, there's very similar shots in this to like the Shibuya stuff. In Gamera 3, where people are getting blown up and flying, there's you know, shots are very, very similar in this.
But it also seems like, I guess you could come up with a million reasons why it feels this way, but it almost feels like they might have been a little tired at this point.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't feel like they had the same drive to make Godzilla as great as they made Gamera.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't, it's hard to describe, but Gamera really felt...
There's energy to those Gamera movies. There's sort of like,
There's energy, but there's also a reverence behind the writing of Gamera himself as a character. You know what I mean? Not that there's no reverence with this Godzilla, but it...
It does feel like there's less behind it a little bit.
It feels like they're not as afraid to fuck it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, this is drop in the ocean... But with Gamera, it felt a little bit more like they owed something to get it right.
Yeah, it's tough. I feel a little spoiled by those Gamera movies and seeing this now. You know, because in a lot of aspects, those Gamera... Because I always thought of this one as like, this is one of the good ones. You know, which, you know, it's all right. But watching it again, because I haven't watched this in a very long time. It's been several years. I was like looking forward to it. And I was sort of surprised by how I felt about it, especially, like you said, with the context of the Gamera movies. And it's like, it's a little less unique because it's like, oh, man, but I mean, you know, it's the same people working on it. So, of course, but yeah, it does feel just sort of like a little bit watered down. Sounds too harsh. And I don't mean it the way that it kind of sounds, but yeah, like watered down a little bit kind of versions of ideas.
There were a lot of ideas in this movie. There were certain parts in the movie when it was like cutting between people talking about plans and then people talking about news stories and then the monster and then more military stuff. And it was cutting back so fast between those things that it was just like, I don't know, I just kind of wish it had focused on like one human storyline throughout the entire thing instead of like this lady who has like, got a job and some office friends, and
she's trying to be a journalist or a reporter type deal. And
then the dad is her relationship with the dad's like a completely separate.
They sort of act like that's the heart of it.
Yeah,
I feel like it is. Yeah, so definitely the story is one of the weaker parts. I would say the human stuff.
It's still a lot better than most Godzilla movies average Godzilla movies. Which makes it kind of weird to talk about. Good for a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
Subpar for a regular movie in some respects. And I think that's also why you and I just both also have more of a context of film canon, you know?
Yeah, in general. Yeah, I definitely have a much different scope.
I've watched hundreds more movies than I had since the last time I watched this.
Yeah.
So... You know, not only is it ranking a little lower on my grand monster movie list, but just overall movie list too.
Yeah, I don't know if I said this already, but I did find myself a little disappointed watching this. Not in like a really bad way, but it is like, it was like, yeah, man, this isn't quite as good as I remember. I watched this, I never had a moment where, you know, a teenager, where I watched this movie and was like, whoa, you know, didn't know about this one. Like I was telling you during our screening, I watched this on Sci-Fi. The Sci-Fi channel was having some sort of marathon
mm-hmm.
of Godzilla movies, and this one came on, and I remember being like, whoa, Godzilla's, like, evil, you know, which mm-hmm. is a little fresh to my idea of him.
Yeah.
Even though that's what he was conceived as. There's plenty of movies where that's, you know, he's at least antagonistic.
Yeah, pretty much the case.
Yeah, but it was like, whoa, you know, he's like straight up the bad guy. Like, even in, you know, the Heisei ones where it would be, you know, like he's an antagonistic force and they have to get rid of him, but also he beats a bad guy.
Right.
Who's worse,
mm-hmm.
you know, but in this one, it's like he's the worst thing. And there's like no like, what? Godzilla is bad?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like nine.
Yeah.
Maybe nine. Like, what, Godzilla's bad? You know, and I was like, I'm watching it like, oh, shit, you know, he's evil. And, like, his white eyes and stuff, and I remember being sort of stricken mm-hmm. by that, and I remember being upset that he kills Martha.
Martha, yeah.
He kills uh-huh. Mothra and Baragon, and I was like, damn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I was telling you, just a funny anecdote, but when, you know, the end, which is, like, one of the, it's, like, a pretty great closing shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're closing in on that, on the fish eating his heart or whatever, yeah. and then it beats.
Yeah.
Once I remember, like, I was like, just as it was pulling up, and I was like, you know, it's closing in on it, the camera is, and I was like, what is that? And then it fucking like squeezed it over to the side, and the credits started rolling extremely fast.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's how I first experienced this movie. And then after, you know, I got back into it in my teenage years, you know, I sort of heard, you know, I heard people being like, oh, he's cool. This is a cool one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a cool Godzilla, and he is. But I remember watching the movie and being like, you know, and this was after I'd watched the 2014 Godzilla.
Yeah.
You know, so I sort of had, you know, I feel like that opened up sort of another chapter.
Mm-hmm. It raised the bar.
Raised the bar a little bit. You know, I hate to give that movie so much credit. I sort of doubt myself, but at the same time, I think I'm right in thinking of it that way.
It did. I remember.
I'm pretty sure that's a big step forward, that Pacific Rim.
I remember that like, happening on a large scale when that movie came out, just as an aside. I remember 2014 coming out, and it's like everybody's perception of what a Godzilla movie could be changed.
Mm.
I remember there were some huge Godzilla figures, you know, for the size of the community, the online community.
Yeah.
Big people who like immediately put that in their top five.
Right.
And I think collectively it was just like, okay, you got to try a little harder now.
Right. Yeah. But watching this, I, you know, and I didn't really have the context either
mm-hmm.
at this point. And I was just kind of like, eh, you know, a lot of stuff looks like it was made on the PS2, PS3, mm-hmm. maybe being optimistic, but,
PS2 cutscene, maybe. Definitely not gameplay, though.
I don't know, man. Metal Gear Solid looked pretty good.
No, it didn't.
Metal Gear Solid 2.
Nothing
3,
looked
I mean.
Good on the PS2.
Yes, it did. Get no. the fuck out of here. The Nothing PS2 looked good.
No, it did not.
Yes, it did.
No. Okay. Would you argue that the terrible shots in this movie looked good, then?
No, this is a movie. This is not a PlayStation, is it? Anyways.
Well, if they look the same, go on, then.
Yeah, I just remember being sort of like, eh, you know.
Yeah.
And I might have like grazed over it one time. You might have had it on at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can sort of call that grazing when a movie's just on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I sort of was looking at it, being like, man, Godzilla looks good.
I mean, it's an eye candy movie.
Yeah.
Really. It's not stimulating. Really, for anything, but just not, like a, ooh, yeah. You twiddle your fingers
yeah.
and you go, ooh, delectable. But yeah, there's that shot of Godzilla in the water when he blows up King Ghidorah and
yeah.
huge explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Some cool shot of Mothra. There's like one where they're like dollying through a city.
Yeah.
And then Mothra's like flying and she shoots some shit out of her Mothra pussy,
yes.
if you will.
The technical term, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, you could give it a lot of credit because I think it also kind of what 2014 did for our generation of Godzilla fans. I think this movie did for the previous one.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it also elevated the status quo, I guess,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
for these.
Much less procedural
Yeah, I
would say it does away with a lot of procedure, even though it does fall into a couple of things, which is hard to
get
out of.
In the grand scheme of things, it is procedure, like if you describe the movie.
Yeah, but
more or less
it
like
feels
Godzilla
less
like
the
military.
You know, it like sometimes watching, you know, like the Heisei through Millennium one is like, ga-gong, ga-gong, you know, like,
yeah,
yep, uh-huh. Yep, the military, yep.
Hmm. But it does a good job of like kind of fast-forwarding.
Yeah.
Through that stuff, mm-hmm. while making it look good. There's a part when they're like, fire the missiles, and then we just get a cool shot of the missiles firing, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, that's better than the usual.
Yeah, yeah, getting creative.
But, I mean, there
were
so many good shots in this movie. That I think that's where they shine, even in the Gamera movies. It's like
great
just coming up with good visual concepts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still think the peak visually was Gamera 3. This included.
Yeah, probably.
This, you know, you could come up with a graph that escalates, peaks with Gamera 3, and then starts to go back down with this.
Yeah, there's really some, like I said, it's like it sort of spoiled by that Gamera trilogy, because you watch this and it's like, ooh, like they're actually kind of lacking
mm-hmm.
in a couple of spots where Gamera 3 was not.
Yeah.
You know, like, just, like, sort of, like, stuff where it's, like, it's almost frustrating with this much... How many years were between Gamera 3 and this one?
About 2 years.
There's some frustrating points at which, you know, like, it's, like, stuff that I feel like, you know, it's... would be easy to get right. You know, like, it's, like, green screen and, like, optical work.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell that this was very much transitioning into digital shit.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of it stems from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had a lot more environments completely made from CG.
Yeah.
And
like largely made, you know, like huge elements of mm-hmm. shots made in the computer.
Gamera 3 had a lot of CG stuff, but it was still elements that were put into shots. It wasn't the shots themselves that were digital.
It was all just better integrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's some good computer stuff in here. Mothra looks all right when she's CG. It just doesn't match with a lot of the puppet stuff because
and they're trying so they put it all like in black.
Yeah,
night. You can barely see it.
Mm-hmm. Which it's like okay, you know, but seeing Mothra, you know, it's funny because it's like I kind of prefer the CG because the
puppet can't move.
It's too lifeless and it's accentuating how.
Mm-hmm.
Lifeless the puppet is.
Yeah,
you know?
It does some cool stuff when it's CG, and I think this one laid the groundwork for the King of the Monsters interpretation.
Yeah,
where it like kind of starts looking like a wasp, and
mm-hmm.
it's flying around just doing
a little more dynamic, and it's like flying sharply,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like putting it's just more dynamic.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. King Ghidorah shows up, and it's got no wings, I think.
Yeah,
I remember looking at
it
and being like,
this.
What? You know, it's like tiny too. His like neck is small.
Yeah.
Are their necks, plural, are small.
Yeah, short, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like,
yeah, I don't like Ghidorah in this. His heads look really plasticky.
Yeah, that's
and
another
like,
thing.
There's like no variation in the color. It's just like one color throughout the entire head.
Yeah.
Like in the Showa era, he had like little fuzzy parts.
Yeah, little brown tufts of like, fur.
I heard that, I can't remember which characters or monsters they were originally planning on using, but I heard that originally they wanted, like, Baragon and some other, like, lesser featured monsters, and then, for one reason or another, Toho made them do Ghidorah and Mothra, so I don't know how much that factored into how cool they were, if it just wasn't, like, something they wanted to do. I also heard that for whatever reason, they were supposed to build a new Mothra larva model or whatever, and I don't know if it was a budget thing or a time thing, but they just ended up having to reuse one from one of the Rebirth of Mothra movies. Which it's barely in the movie. Yeah,
there's like a single shot of it.
Yeah, and I don't know how different it would have looked anyway.
Yeah.
More of an interesting trivia fact than anything.
Yeah.
Affect your thoughts on the movie as a whole.
Yeah.
But
King Ghidorah could have been cool though, you know, like I love the inversion of it completely.
Yeah.
You know, where
and it's still like the only time we've ever seen that done.
Yeah, which is surprising, you know, that it's like just tried once at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's surprising that it took that long to try that.
Yeah.
To me a little bit, but you know, it would have been cool to see King Ghidorah done a little cooler, because a lot of screen time and a lot of like gravitas is given to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it ends up being a little like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might just be like a visual style thing that didn't work out.
For such a big Godzilla compared to previous Godzillas, just in terms of like real life, how big it was, it would have been so cool to see a massive King Ghidorah. Because King Ghidorah is always not way fucking bigger, but like significantly taller at least than Godzilla. And so it would have been cool to see a very powerful and big Godzilla go up against an even more powerful and even bigger King Ghidorah to match it. Like, I don't know, the shit they were doing with Biollante and Legion, you know, where they had like teams of people operating it and, you know, tons of people puppeting. Like, they should have done some shit like that with Ghidorah.
Yeah, it just seems a little...
make him a huge monster.
It's just simple, you know, seeming. And like, just, yeah, I remember being underwhelmed by that when I rewatched it. Personally, I was like, oh, yeah, that's sort of lame. It sounds like a super cool idea. Because King Ghidorah is always cool most of the time. He looks cool.
I mean, he's not like terrible in this.
No. That's not what I mean to say. He's still cool
to some extent. It's just he could have been cooler because Mothra was cooler than your average Mothra. Godzilla was cooler than your average Godzilla.
It's just weird. It's kind of, I'm not sure I understand why they did it that way.
Yeah, why go soft on King Ghidorah?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a toddler's, Playmobil version of King Ghidorah.
Yeah, yeah.
McDonald's toy King Ghidorah.
Mm-hmm. Duplo.
Yeah, that's
Duplo
it.
King Ghidorah.
But, yeah, but Godzilla looks so good. This is maybe one of the best looking Godzilla suits ever.
Yeah, it's one where no matter which way you're looking at it, from which direction, underneath, high up.
Which a lot of that, I think, comes from getting rid of his pupils.
Yeah.
I think a big chunk of how good it looks.
Like, just I like that he's hunched that. Over. He's got like a way different bone structure. He's like hunched over and his spines are poking out. And he looks way more dinosaur-y than usual.
And more than anything, I think, while I was watching it, what I noticed is like his head, almost always these Godzilla suits, the head is like always so static. You know?
Yeah.
And that's like the big thing. You were talking about it earlier. You touched on it, but it's like in this, it's like the head is so dynamic and there's like moving bits to it and it's looking around and like it just usually these Godzilla suit heads look like something manipulated, you know? And if you squint at it, you can usually sort of see where there's a guy in there. And
right, on his
shoulders. And in this, it seems very much a part of everything else in a way that's really, really good. And it's like, wow, what aren't you doing in everything else? Why wouldn't you do it like this?
It's like the Heisei movies, they would have your like action Godzilla suit that would look pretty good. But like you said, the head would be static. And then they would cut to like a big animatronic head where it could emote. Like way more and look around and stuff, but you would always have to cut to a close up.
So there's less of a relationship between those two, and this it's
always
there's
just more
it.
Of a distance between those two. And here it felt, and I don't know if that was the case. I don't know if they had another animatronic head for this one, you know, for a big close up head. But it all felt like the same thing. Yeah. It all organically was like, you know, you could see him squint and blink from far away and. You know, do little subtle expressions with his mouth and his cheeks and stuff.
And like he's got like a, like at the jaw, like his head can move. And there's like a few pieces in there that really, like pretty much all the time, it's like moving, you know, like that. And it's like, man, that's great. Looks great.
There was a part when, I think it's right when he shows up. I think they're kind of parodying that part from the 98 Godzilla.
Yeah, there's fishermen.
But when he first roars, his neck kind of like inflates a little bit.
Or moves.
And it just makes him feel so much more alive.
Yeah. It's crazy that like they fell back on like kind of an inferior design.
After this. Yeah.
It's like, man, why wouldn't... I mean, obviously it's a very stylized... one, and you wouldn't want to go with it, but it's like that stuff looks so good. Why wouldn't you? I don't know, But that's definitely, honestly, probably the best thing about the movie.
Godzilla.
Yeah, how he looks and like what he does, which is great for a Godzilla movie because so many times it's like he's some of the worst stuff in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the least entertaining. But
there's some good fights, though. The fight between him and Baragon's really cool.
Yeah, that's great.
There's a lot of movement to it. It still feels like slightly less energized than the Gamera fights.
Yeah.
Like Gamera sliding and shooting fireballs and stuff. There was never a moment like that where it just felt like so excited to show you something.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's just a little drier. There were a lot of times, especially earlier on in the movie, when they had overall pretty good monster shots, like during the daytime of Godzilla or Baragon walking around a set or, you know, a footage of a real place, and they integrated it pretty well, but the monsters would be like way warmer than the other footage, and so they'd be like redder or pinker.
Yeah.
And it was like so fucking close.
It really is, and it's like, damn, did y'all not have the technology to change color temperature? You know, I don't know.
I think that maybe it was a time or budget thing, or maybe
you just couldn't tell.
Yeah, until you it could it be the case the that they 35. Just that they looked at it so much during the process of putting one thing on the other that once it got there, they were just like, that looks really fucking good.
Yeah, they just don't notice that something's not quite kosher about it. But yeah, the Baragon a couple of times. I think in a lot of the shots he's in, where Godzilla's not in him, they're not slowing him down.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it looks to me like he's a little too quick moving. Maybe it's the ears that are just so jiggly. But maybe. A couple of times he doesn't carry the weight that I kind of wish he did. I love that there's that one shot where he's, like, going through, you know, like, some forest, and there's, like, birds coming out.
Yeah.
Like, in huge... That's just a good visual idea. It's like, you know, once again, it's like getting creative with showing the same old stuff. And it's like, here's a little something to make it feel a little realer. And it's probably what all the past movies where people did this wanted you to understand, you know, or feel.
Yeah.
You know?
So Baragon was the first Godzilla monster to be played by a woman.
Nice. Can we get an applause for women?
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love them.
I love women. I know we kind of shit on the story and stuff, but the actors in this were really good.
No, yeah, they're good. They all have like they don't like blend together like a lot of the time. It's like a reporter, military man, scientist, you know, like you know. But like the lead girl,
I had a crush on her for a long time.
Oh, really? It's funny. She is very, very, very pretty.
It's funny, this was like the era in the early 2000s where, like, I guess Japanese people were all dyeing their hair.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess white people were doing that, too, in America. Yeah. The Guy Fieri era.
The Guy Fieri special.
The Smash Mouth era.
Yeah.
But it's just funny, like, seeing, like, a bunch of, like, young Japanese people walking around with, like, blonde highlights in their hair.
Yeah, like, they do the orange a lot, like, that sort of dark red orange, like, auburn color. But
it looks good on her.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They'll cut to extras like running away.
Yeah,
it's just really funny. It's like a Tony Hawk game or something.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Seeing the teenagers especially.
Yeah.
And then she's got like some subordinate or she's like friends with some dude that's like a science writer. Yeah, that's right. And then her dad's pretty good.
Yeah, the most handsome man in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a bunch of placards on his wall. The most handsome man in Japan,
yeah.
14 years running.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
But no, he was good.
Yeah, he's good. I like him as like as one of those sort of stoic figures. He does that pretty well.
I think what lets me down about the story is, or part of what lets me down, that scene where she like goes out to like eat with her friends and then she comes back home drunk, and then there's like almost like a relationship forming between the dad and that guy that she was with.
Yeah.
And it really seemed like that had a lot of potential
mm-hmm.
to be something.
And
And it just didn't come back at all. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, it didn't matter.
And she's also just got a good relationship with her dad, which is fine. But mm-hmm. it's like, you know, she's like, oh, you know, you're drunk again. And she's like, no, I'm not. And it basically, he's like, it's fine. It's okay.
Yeah, they cut to the next morning.
Yeah.
She was like, sorry about last night. He's like, it's okay.
It's not a big deal. You know, it's like, no, well,
conflict at all.
Well, good for her. You know, I'm glad she gets along with them. But why am I watching this if there's no conflict? You know, and that's more than anything. There's no real emotional conflict other than, like, I'm worried about this person dying.
Uh-huh.
Not much beyond that, like, immediate peril.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there's nothing to be solved or overcome, you know, which is, like, really basic, I guess, screenwriting. But it is, there's just an element missing there to just feels a little empty.
Sort of. Yeah, yeah. Just
not much there.
A little disconnect. Between what it is and what it could have been.
But it's not terrible or anything. Like, the writing's never awful. There's cool ideas, like the old dude that might be a ghost.
Well, he definitely is a ghost, right? If he got killed 50 years ago.
They said he did die. Yeah. Okay, no, they definitively said.
he disappeared from a tape.
Oh, he disappeared from the tape?
Yeah.
Never mind.
That's why the wig guy,
he's
like, what? What?
Yeah, that's cool.
That's also like half an idea for a character, that guy with the wig.
Is it? Yeah, it's like, is that supposed to be a wig in the reality of the movie, though?
I think so. I mean, he leaves like to fix it.
Does he? Okay.
I don't know.
I think it's supposed to be. He like looks at his hair at one point, and it's like, what am I supposed to be understanding here?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I like him. I like having a guy with a wig.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, that's part of his trait.
Yeah.
He's got a wig. But
besides that, he's like completely unnoteworthy.
Yeah, he's sort of a leader and he tells people what to do a couple times.
And
that end up shaping circumstances.
The idea for the plot as far as her relationship with what's going on in the grand scheme of things, like she's like working for this
media production.
Yeah, it's like a media company
studio
that does like bullshit sci-fi drama, fake documentaries and stuff.
Yeah.
And then by the end, she's like a news reporter, but the company is still the same. It's just, it really feels like they didn't really think that out completely.
Or just didn't make it to screen. I don't know. Yeah, it's just sort of like, what?
Like the whole third act, she's running around with a camera. Acting like a reporter.
Video. Yeah, I don't know. It's like kind of half-baked, and it's like, I'm just not sure what you want me to get sometimes. Like, exactly what am I supposed to be understanding? Mm-hmm. Are the stakes here? Or what exactly is the... None of this is bad, really. It's just a couple times... more than anything, I'm surprised by the sort of mediocrity of a lot of things in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people sort of dote on this film... A lot, I feel like, people sort of hold it up.
I feel like now it's pretty much received how it should be.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, people appreciate the good things about it, but I don't see people going on a lot of Godzilla movies. Biollante is another where they just go through and it's almost like they pretend that they watched a different movie.
Yeah.
Where they're like, the relationship between these two characters is just so fucking good, you know. It's just like, no, it wasn't. It was barely there. But this isn't a movie they do that with. Mm. I've never seen anybody be like, the relationship between Yuki and her father, is so good.
It's gut wrenching.
I just feel like people are like, okay, we can take this from this movie. We can accept that this movie did a lot of things right, and then move on.
Yeah. That's it. I like the spiritual aspect. I think that's a really original thing to bring to it. It's sort of, that sort of gets lost, really, you know, even though they're, you know, turning into particles and going all around, but they're like saying like really interesting, like weird stuff about like Godzilla's the souls of all the people who died in World War II, angry at people for forgetting them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, really? Holy shit. You know, like they're mad. Okay. You know, I guess, but then, you know, that kind of just gets lost and they're like, Godzilla is heading towards the city.
Right.
You know, and it's like, he's made of souls. Like, wait, hold on.
Right. You're exactly right.
You know, which it's like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, these souls are angry and they want to kill living people. And they've turned into a giant dinosaur to do it that shoots lasers, you know, like, all right. You know, but it, that sort of gets lost. And it doesn't really feel, at least to me, like it's like that's just someone like saying like maybe it is, you know, which is like, you know, a lot of the time where it's like people theorizing, it's like they want to say that that's their idea, but they don't want to commit to the implications of it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I'm being sort of general with that, but that's not how it felt in this. The guy's like saying that. Mm-hmm. He ends up being a ghost.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine he's to be believed about things like this.
Especially ghost-related
matters.
But I come away feeling pretty similar. It's also just like, I don't know how much of it is actually not working for me compared to how much the idea has worn off, or like the appeal of it has worn off. Because I remember being younger and being like, this Godzilla is made of souls or whatever, mm-hmm. is possessed by souls or something. I was like, that's really fucking badass, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just like, well, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, it goes nowhere and it doesn't.
Are there more monsters made of souls from other conflicts?
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't know. It just it brings up more questions.
Is
and
there
it's
a
like,
European monster from the Holocaust? I mean, you think Godzilla's bad.
Yeah.
There should be at least one over there. Do you need to be on a coast?
Yeah. I don't know. And I don't know. It's also like they're doing that, but they're also trying to shit on the 98 Godzilla with that idea that's totally disconnected.
And it goes nowhere and they don't stick with it, really.
Yeah, you never see like the souls get freed or...
That never plays into like a resolution.
And it also doesn't gel. Yes, you're right about, you're completely right about that. Like a spiritual problem would ideally
blow it up with the missile.
Yeah, still. Yeah,
the special
we're
missile.
We're just going to kill it with a drill. But it doesn't gel with the history that they're also trying to create with it. It's like it originally appeared in 1954, so presumably the first movie is canon.
Right.
And so I think they say that it was still the spirits back then.
Right.
But then it disappeared for like 50 years and
they
then came
lied
back.
Lied about killing it and then it came back and attacked again.
Yeah, and also if it's attacking because it's mad about people forgetting, why would it have attacked like 10
attacked
years
the
after
US
the war?
Once it's like, did people go around one day and they were like, what happened Pearl Harbor? What happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
That was something else.
Well, they say it was like theorized. They're like, I don't know what it was. That first scene is like, it just, the movie like came on and I had to like shut up. I was like talking to you about something and I was like, oh shit, the movie's on. Like, it starts, you know, and it's really like, this guy's like, okay, so Godzilla first appeared in 1954. And so then he came back once. And then again, it's like, okay, whoa.
Yeah.
Slow down. He's just like in a classroom teaching them and everybody's like, yep, we already know this.
Yeah.
You know? And one guy's like, it attacked the United States once, and he's like, maybe. And then and then a guy comes in with a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
And it's like, slow down, whoa, you know. But none of that ends up really mattering all that much or coming to anything interesting beyond, like, an idea, like a postulation of, like, what if he's made of souls and it has to deal with people lost in war and being remembered, like, you know, and it's like, what? Okay.
And also like the protectors of the homeland.
Oh man. Yeah. The homeland. And it's like, yeah, like the mountains and valleys, like the actual, I was like, talking about.
Yeah. It's like cool beginnings of ideas, but it doesn't seem like they're ready to follow those up with anything.
Yeah. Which is like, there's tons of,
it's like a pitch.
Yeah.
For something.
There's tons of cool stuff you could follow it up with is the thing, though. You know, it's not like they couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why didn't they? Like, why, you know, why'd we lose that? You don't have to do anything too crazy, you know, like, I don't know, dialogue about it. But it's strange. It's strange that they sort of hard commit to that. There's like totems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like mystical stuff. I love that that guy from Gamera. The Cameron trilogy goes to kill him. So that's a great, like, that's what I mean when, like, that's not camp. It's approaching it, but it's like, it's a little more like, here's a fun way to get into
Yeah, but it's also a little fucked up too.
Yeah, but that's why like it's kind of funny. He goes to like kill himself,
mm-hmm.
just some guy, and he's like, you know, he's about to do it around Mount Fuji, and then he falls into, you know, he sees King Ghidorah,
mm-hmm.
and then I guess it saved his life because he runs off and he's like, I saw a dragon.
Yeah. It's funny how King of the Monsters just fucking stole that.
Yeah, yeah. Frozen King Ghidorah.
Yeah, just completely stole like one of the coolest visuals of this movie.
Maybe it's a callback, homage.
Mm-hmm. You gotta love homages that don't elaborate.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating. I like they sort of seem to imply that the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marauding gangs.
Yeah.
You know, scary teenagers are sort of connected to
mm-hmm.
this, disrespecting.
Yeah.
Really, they're all just cool, except for killing the dog. It's very funny that they're like, you know, they're like, shut that stupid dog up. They get the dog, and you know, the plan is to put that holy totem into a box, put the dog in a box, and then drop it into a lake. You know, which it's like, that's like somebody's darkest memory of watching, like, you know, a hometown friend do that, you know, and it's just like a group of kids. Like, you said there's that one girl who's like, oh, this, you know, like, just drop it in the lake already.
Yeah, this is boring. Just kill the dog already.
Like, oh my God.
That is the attitude.
Like Clockwork Orange teenagers.
Like, yeah. And that's also kind of stupid. It's just like Mothra's in the fucking lake.
Yeah. Just
Mothra, famous for being underwater.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she kills five of those.
Like Jaws. She kills them like Jaws. Picking them off one by one.
Which is fine, but then it doesn't do anything like that ever again.
No, it's pretty solidly good.
Yeah, it just goes back to being regular old Mothra, like it cocoons and flies around.
I don't know if they're
implying
a greater evil to those teenagers. I don't know. It's but then the dog's okay on the news. They got it out. It's
That's like, what I mean. Like, this movie has so many fucking ideas.
Yeah.
Parts of ideas.
There's that, like, that local politician who's like, hey, you told us you were making a real documentary.
Yeah.
You know? And then he's like with his wife and he's like, we're going to be...
Or maybe mistress?
Yeah.
Because they're like in a parking lot?
That's true, yeah. And he's like, this is going to be the big break, baby, you know.
And then he never comes back?
No, he gets harassed by some teenagers out of the movie.
Gone.
Strange. It's all just strange. It's I like the guy gets swallowed by Godzilla.
Oh, the Satsuma?
The Satsuma.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just kills it. I like that he survives.
Yeah, yeah,
I
do
don't know
too.
Why, it's just like, you know, like, you would think, like, that it's almost predictable, like, I was almost like, does he die? Because it is predictable to be like, you know, like, goodbye, my daughter.
Uh-huh.
You know, I will sacrifice myself. No, he just does it right, and then he gets out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is cool.
I also like that. That's something I still like, and that I really liked when I first watched the movie, is he's like, don't come close, I might be irradiated.
Yeah, I might be irradiated since I was inside Godzilla.
Yeah, which is a fair point, but it's never, there's never any nuclear tie-in, at least from what we can tell with these subtitles.
Right,
But they don't really mention anything outside, well, they say like...
Hey, yeah, radiation, so is radiation tied to souls?
Don't know. They mention the bomb a couple times. There's that one shot where it's obviously a callback to the bomb, and it would have been like pretty beautiful, but then they make the teacher go, the atom bomb?
Yeah, she says, like, an atom bomb? And it's like...
You almost had it.
Yeah, you know.
You almost had
it. Just quiet. Like, why would you say anything at a time like that? Like, that is a time when it's like, what would you say?
Uh-huh.
And except maybe, oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. A mushroom cloud in the middle of a city.
But the visual was so perfect.
It's very... It looks very good, and it's like, whoa.
And the cutting's really good. There's like a part when you can see all the kids and they flash a really bright light and they cut it together really, really...
And it's quiet.
Masterfully. Yeah,
they show that cloud and it's quiet
really
and it's like...
There's like a delayed explosion you hear at one point.
Mm-hmm. And that's really good, but yeah, they get her to say that line and it's like, you know, it's like, why? Why'd you include that line? Were you worried? Could you not trust me to recognize a mushroom cloud? it's strange that they kind of like touch on nuclear stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're like, they say, like he feeds on a nuclear sub.
Oh yeah, yeah.
At the very beginning, that's like one of the inciting things where they're like, Godzilla's back because an American nuclear sub goes missing.
And there's that poster in the background of one of those shots that they subtitle.
Yeah,
it says,
a world
like,
without a
nuclear
future,
weapons.
Yeah,
or
without
something.
Nuclear
yeah.
weapons. Yeah.
So I guess it is. I mean, I think it's more preoccupied with like the loss of life aspect than
yeah.
the like
why
kind of technical.
Yeah, but it is kind of like tantalizingly undeveloped.
Uh-huh.
You know, where it's like, okay, like, can you help me so I kind of know what the rules are here?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of a thing am I watching? You know, like, yeah. how, you know, metaphysical is mm-hmm. it? But I don't know. It's like, you can complain about it for a while, but none of it's that bad. It's just like, damn, a lot of really interesting ideas that, like, in previous movies with similar ideas, you fleshed out to a pretty satisfying mm-hmm. result, you know, and here... a lot of the same stuff and almost kind of cooler in terms of concept,
mm-hmm.
just not to quite the same end quality-wise as when you did it before. Like you said, it's kind of like they're getting tired.
So I imagine a lot of their love for... because obviously the Gamera movies were made with a love for Gamera, but also a love for the entire genre, which at the time was like over 50% Godzilla.
Right.
And so I think it's hard to... go from that to like, okay, do a Godzilla movie now. And it's like, okay, we kind of already did our Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we
it was
did.
Just a turtle.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically just played with him like he was Godzilla,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a lot of it. Yeah. This, I don't think this was like half-assed or anything. It's just,
no, absolutely
it's
not.
Just a little bit, you know, they didn't have a full tank of gas for this one.
Which that's all right. I know you're tired from Gamera.
Yeah, it's not their fault. I feel like if they gave
nice
it a few movies.
If you did a good Godzilla movie.
Like if they actually did this for the 50th anniversary of Godzilla in 2004 instead of 2001.
Yeah.
They might have done something a little more special. Overall, pretty fucking good, though.
Yeah. Done fries?
I've been kicked in the head by a horse a few times.
I already said everything about this movie. There's some cool stuff in terms of ideas, some cool visuals, some not so cool visuals, not so great stories, non-existent stories like usual, where it's just mm-hmm. there's sort of a lack thereof. But yeah, I don't know. I like it fine for what it is. 6 out of 10.
I feel pretty much the same. There's a nostalgia that I have for this movie that I don't see going away anytime soon. But beyond the nostalgia, there is an appreciation for what this movie did right and then an acknowledgement that it did move us forward and that the franchise as a whole is better for having gone here, you know, having charted this
right,
territory.
Yeah.
6.5 out of 10.
You just think you're really special for that extra 0.5, don't you? Always,
I wanted to give it a 7,
me.
But it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
I
not
I don't
good.
Know about a 7. But... numbers don't matter.
Who gives a shit? Nobody's fucking listening anyways.
Nobody's listening. Only 4,400 people listened to the Latitude Zero episode. Next movie we'll be watching, Godzilla against Mechagodzilla. We're going straight through the Godzilla movies until Final Wars.